I gotta finish my show that I got Jason mm-hmm. into. The Pit. We've just Oh my god, Ruby's really into the show. Really? We always have to watch like cartoons and her songs and all the things. And I like put it on.
Maybe it's because they're all in hospital cots, so that's like bedtime.
Well, I think it's kind of like it's the Coco Melon effect, where the scene changes so quickly. That's why they like a lot of people are like, this is not a good show for kids. Not
it's
the
addictive.
Bit.
Yeah,
it's very addictive because it's just like all the colors and everything's so fast. It's like, whoa.
Oh my gosh, The Pit is Coco Melon for grownups.
It is, and so Ruby was just like watching it because it's like blood and people, and then it's just like so fast and like whiplash and like
all. See, that's what Vegas is like.
Yeah. She Coco was Melon. Like, oh.
You should bring her to Vegas.
Yeah. Yeah. Vegas. But there was one scene where a doctor got punched by a patient. And then Ruby was playing with her little, like, they're called little people, which is kind of weird. And her little dollhouse. They're called little people. And she, like, took one of the, like, the little guy and she punched the woman off the house.
Oh, my gosh. Mm-hmm. She's learning.
Yeah, and
she's learning about fight choreography.
She, like the boy hit the woman. I don't love this. She's oh no.
Yeah, but you know, she'll forget.
You live and you learn. These girls are having a breakdown. Bravo breakdowns. These girls are going insane now.
Bravo breakdown. Good morning, students. I'm Lauren Davis.
I'm Michelle Baber.
And this is Bravo Breakdowns, and we're back from our week in Fort Lauderdale.
America's Own.
America's Own. And America's Own Airlines tried to keep us away from you guys.
We came crawling back.
They can't stop. We're the cockroaches of Dallas, baby. Whole grid can go down, and we're going to find our way back.
Yeah.
Planes, trains, automobiles, Ubers driving backwards on the highway.
This is a true story. Cockroaches in our hotel room. And then we had three different hotel rooms in four nights.
Yeah. Including one at the Red Carpet Inn.
The Red Carpet Inn.
Which was the true red carpet experience.
And you guys that are completely dark and empty. You have to go all the way.
It's a labyrinth.
And
where instead of do not enter cards, you write a do not enter on a post-it and put it on your door.
Exactly.
They invented a new form of deadlock.
Yep. And they say, make sure you use it.
Make sure you use it. Mm-hmm. We recommend it.
We did.
But we're back.
We're back. You don't know what we're talking about. Well, basically, Lauren and I went to Florida, and then we were supposed to fly back to Dallas. Both major airports had stopped being able to communicate with air traffic control, so our flight was canceled. That old gag.
You guys know how it is. Sadly.
Sucks.
This year especially, or the past, like, 2 years. Okay, well, speaking of another Class A trip, we had the first episode of Salt Lake City, Season 6. Michelle and I, spent most of our vacation actually watching and delighting in this episode.
Mm-hmm.
So let's get into the recap. So we open with some, like, a camcorder footage horror movie montage where it's like the beginning of the movie where everyone's happy.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of spawn con in this episode, including like camcorder, Perrier. I guess, speaking of comeback.
Yeah, camcorders are coming back. Perriers are coming back. Boca Burgers.
Boca Burgers. Oh, those never went out.
And English.
Love
and,
Boca Burgers.
Thomas English Muffins.
Right. Okay. Well, those, again, it's like, for me, never out of style. So then Angie goes to Mary's house in an RV for to pick Mary up for the party she and Angie are hosting. Angie and Mary's class
together.
A party.
Yeah.
Well, they planned it, but Angie really planned it, but put Mary's name on
name
it. It's kind of nebulous and conceptual in the way Salt Lake City is a lot of the time. Angie honks and picks up Mary and her nurse. Walks her out and scrubs in a mask.
It's very confusing. And we're not going to be the only ones confused because Mary's going to be like, this is not my trip. I don't co-sign on this.
Like, it's almost like double dog daring Mary to, it's like, you know, you used to like, even on our classy beach vacations, you'd be like, I'm not coming to this. And it's like, well, you get in the RV and she's a whole new housewife. She's game. She gets in the RV. So then they pick up the rest of the gals.
Okay, you know what the bus reminded me of? It was like, it was like the next bus from MTV's Next. Remember? Next.
Oh, yeah. Next.
The dating show.
Yeah. And and then they say next and go to pick up the rest of the gals at the beauty lab in Laser. Who they don't know where they're going either. They were told to bring bikinis, boots, and blessings. But only Brittany wore a bikini under like
Brittany wore a bikini and it's 12 degrees outside and snowing. And she's like, you said we're
and a under like a little Sabrina Carpenter suit.
It's me, espresso. Oh, and she has out.
Angie told us later that in that scene, Brittany did have a sock in her hair. We learned on Watch What Happens Live that night. We get kind of a breakdown from Heather, which we needed just to catch up because the Salt Lake City lore is so, you know, convoluted. So Lisa is not on the trip, but right now Meredith hates Brittany. Heather hates Bronwyn. Mm-hmm. Angie, Whitney, and Bronwyn hate Lisa. And that's kind of what's going on in the episode today. It is more complicated than that, but that's going to be the focus on premiere night.
These are who hates the other
person.
Who hates
who.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then they get into the RV and then, uh-oh, the cops are here.
What are the feds doing at Beauty Lab and Laser? I think I've seen this before.
Yeah, deja vu. Somebody's PTSD. Husband. Yeah.
Is somebody about to get a call from the hospital because something horrible happened to their husband?
Yeah. Is there bleeding internally?
Yeah, internal bleeding.
No. In fact, it's very clear from the beginning that Whitney called the hot cops.
Called hot cops. Bad boys, bad girls. What you gonna do?
Me and Michelle, we don't care for this kind of shenanigans. We don't need the gags. The girls goop and gag us enough already.
We don't need the hijinks. They are the gag.
They are the gag. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So then the girls in the RV kind of get into why Lisa isn't here. We get the footage of Lisa turning down Angie, and she's like, I didn't want to spend the night with Bronwyn. She's a pathological liar. She's psychotic, and I have a very full life. I keep it kind of private. I'll be with Ben Affleck and Blake Lively. And this is all uninterrupted. Like, Angie hasn't said anything.
Oh my God.
So even though she's not here, like we don't see her physically, her presence looms
large. Like spiritually, I feel she surrounds us, much like how maybe people feel about like a God type of presence. That's how I feel. Like Lisa's all around.
Yeah. When you saw two sets of footprints in the sand, that was Lisa following behind you, spraying fresh wolf.
Hi, baby,
gorgeous.
Oh my God. I love it. I miss her.
But another thing she did that helped her loom large over the episode was that she has really dug her little claws into Britt. And she's like the only one who's nice to her. And Brittany, we all know, will really sacrifice her body, soul, mind, reputation for self. She's very loyal.
She begs for it.
And then Brittany's like, it's like, she has a work thing. Don't drag it. Don't drag her. Just like freaking out defending her.
Oh my God. She's so incredible. She's like a vaudevillian star to me.
Mm-hmm.
She's so over the top.
She sings. She dances.
She has
She's a clown.
Hair lifted to the heavens because of socks.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
She wears theater makeup.
Larger than life.
Yeah.
So Whitney says she doesn't believe about the work thing. Because, like, what we're not addressing, even though I think we could on Salt Lake, is this is her job. You know, this is like the first day of shooting and she's missing it.
She's not putting together any events at Sundance right now.
And, like, if she was, that wouldn't be as big of a deal as your first day back shooting.
You're not at work. It's like not – she wasn't at there for her first day of school this year.
School, yeah, yeah. And it's like you have to have an excuse like I'm stuck in Europe. Air traffic control has been down all over Salt Lake City.
We can't get into any major airports, even the third busiest airport in the world.
Yeah, you can't flex and be like I'm with Ben Affleck and Blake Lively, who I can't believe that
they would be Ryan together.
Allowing them to be together after
the know. I don't think this was a true story from her. She was probably at Taco Bell.
Probably. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, or she went to Dunkin'. She's in a Dunkin' commercial with Ben. Would be legit. If that comes out, I'll retract it.
That's where Ben is in his career, is that he's now doing Dunkin' commercials with reality TV stars.
No one remembers the accountant too, but we're all like, yeah, he's been doing Dunkin', right? Yeah. That's his thing.
This is really his Goodwill hunting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He needs some Goodwill right now. Mm-hmm. So does Lisa, so Whitney does not believe the Ben Affleck like lively work trip story.
Where is she?
And Brittany says, you're one to talk, because Whitney's MLM is in the news.
Oh my.
And another fun thing, we're just such Britney fans, and we're so glad the rest of the fandom has come around, that she seems like she got a word of the day calendar.
Oh my God,
like, she's like, in her confessional, she's like, Whitney seems emboldened that Lisa isn't around, but au contraire.
God, she's bilingual.
She puts a little piece of French on it. Mm-hmm. And so Whitney says, oh yeah, well, how do you make money? Sucking dick? And Brittany says, Lisa is like a sister to me.
Brittany is about to be like, I got to go see about a girl.
And then they go to the Provo woods.
They go to the middle of the woods in Angie K's bus.
Yeah, bus camper situation.
Yeah.
And so then they're having a outdoor picnic, and then freezing cold, looks miserable. I mean, they're all like swigging tequila, especially Angie. So hopefully, I can't believe they're standing up. Like, it's gotta be watered down, right?
You can still get hypothermia even if you feel like you're warm from alcohol. Like, you can still, that's how a lot of people end up getting, like, dying from hypothermia.
They're all like the little Matchbox girl right now.
Yeah.
They're like, yeah, it's about to set in. Mm. We kind of set up what I think will be the premise of the season. Whitney's like, so there's a lot out there on Lisa. And they say that Lisa is denying all of the multiple news stories that have come out about her. 6 lawsuits. Says $400,000 owed in one of the lawsuits. And then Bronwyn says, Meredith and Heather are trying to shut it down. Like, she's denied it. We can't get into it. And Bronwyn's like, really? Because I've heard there's multiple issues and they're not resolved. And Brittany goes,
no.
Oh.
Ricky.
No. And then Heather's like really drunk and hypothermic. She's like, spit it out, Bronwyn. And Bronwyn is basically like, it's time to do a Lisa takedown once and for all. She's never had to do a real storyline. All our marriages have looked like shit. We've looked like bad parents. We've been messy. We've been caught in lies. But we just kind of let her do her thing because she's a fan favorite.
Yep.
And even Mary is jumping in and being like, she talks about our stuff, but we can't talk about hers. Even Mary is a part of even she was in on the group chat where they planned this. I love how she's an active participant now.
Yeah.
So then Heather's like, well, I don't know about any of this. I didn't see any of this. And Angie's like, oh, it's in the Salt Lake City Tribune. Don't play stupid. Angie was on Heather's neck this episode. I loved it.
The girls came to play.
The girls came to play, honey. Angie was like, it's basically the same what she's doing as Jen Shaw. Mm-hmm. And Heather's like, what? How dare you? And then, like, why should I even believe Bronwyn when she lied about the necklace? Mm. I was like, I don't know. Like, Bronwyn apologized about the necklace. My whole thing about the necklace is, like, yeah, it's embarrassing she lied, but, like, who cares?
I do.
You do?
No.
I can't bring myself to. There's.
It was a weird thing to lie about, you know, yeah, but I
mean,
we gotta move on, but, like.
We gotta move on.
She's gotta move on. The show's better than this. This is something they're still doing on Beverly Hills.
This is like Beverly Hills. It's a Beverly Hills storyline.
It's like Erica Jane's, like, earrings at this point. I don't care.
Yes. I hate that they're
lost. Except there's no orphans or widows involved with this.
No, which makes it less exciting.
Exactly.
Yeah. Where's the carnage? Where's the ruined lives? But yeah, what is Heather's deal with Bronwyn, do you think?
I think Heather really needs to have some sort of a conflict. And yeah. Bronwyn was a really popular housewife for her first season.
I don't think she was that popular.
Well, I think she kind of was. Or, you know, she got another season. Heather needs conflict. She needs something. She doesn't have her relationship like she did with Whitney before. You know, Whitney's kind of, you know, she even has red hair now. We don't know what's going on. So I just think she needs somebody to sort of, Jen's gone, you know, the shit with Whitney's whatever. She just needs some sort of a conflict. So she's making it about herself like she did last season where she was like, I've been in a marriage like yours and it's not good and I need a new couple. Like, is he a bad guy? And you know, so I think that she wants to, you know, get the next season. And she's also looking so much like Lindsay Hubbard.
They're really morphing into one person. Yeah, I do think that's part of it. Like, I definitely do think it's like Bronwyn is new, so she's kind of easiest to start the conflict with. But I also think it's like, I do think like part of it is like insecurity where it's like, okay, Bronwyn is also like the kind of normal one, as like weird as her life is
so weird.
Way more fucked up and weird. But like, she has that and she has more money and she's kind of like the normal progressive, clear-headed one in terms of like being an observer. So I think it's like partially like she's Heather being overly territorial. Mm-hmm. And then I also think it's that, and this is like the embarrassing part and the part that Angie's really hammering her for, and I think will continue to hammer her for during the season. I think she really goes up the ass of anyone she thinks is a fan favorite. And so she's like, I'm going to defend Lisa. And so I'm still have a conflict with Bronwyn, but I'm going to be the one person protecting Lisa. And I'm like, I don't know. I'm like, do you think it comes from a place of like, with Heather Dubrow, with Tamara, it's like, I've got to be a team player. Someone's got to be on this
person's
side.
Someone's got to be doing it, yeah.
But it's like, yeah, Lisa's Heather, also a fan favorite, though.
I know.
So that makes me think it's Heather being so insecure.
Well, she probably, I mean, she's a little insecure. She changed the way she looks completely.
Yeah.
But also, yeah, it's also hard. Like, I think all of them are kind of fan favorites.
Yeah, well, I think in the earlier seasons, it was like
everybody Lisa loved Heather.
Everybody loved Heather until Girls Trip. That's when she kind of fell from grace. And then it became all about Lisa for people, you know.
And
Meredith is beloved, but she's always been more of a
she's a sleeper cell because she's literally always asleep.
Yeah, and same with Mary Cosby. They're the sleeper cell agents. Like but they're not like the stars of the show.
No, but they'll wake up and they'll give you they're like the Judy Greers, you know, like.
Yes.
So character good at the character
best supporting
work.
Actresses. Yes. But yeah, like I do think I think we'll learn more as we go. Time will tell on this Heather Bronwyn conflict.
Yeah, because it doesn't right now doesn't make a ton of sense.
It does not. But then it's also Salt Lake, so they also just like, you know, they're kind of like community theater actors.
They
pick their objective for the season and then they just go after it.
Also, like,
you know?
The trips they have to go on, like a lot of the trips they do at Salt like for Salt Lake are so bananas. Like this one, like you're taking a bus. We're not even getting you a bus. You're taking Angie's property.
Well, I like what our friend Evan had to say, which was that was clearly not her property, or she would know that there was a stove that you could cook the Boca burgers on. Also, like, she clearly didn't pack any of that food.
The
like later they're sitting around the campfire. Yeah. And it's they just have like a bag of asparagus.
They had a bag of asparagus. They had an open flame. They had frozen Boca burgers, English muffins.
A real hodgepodge.
But then they had like troughs of alcohol.
Yeah.
And they were just
But you know what I think the alcohol thing is? You know, it wasn't Vita tequila. And they were drinking all tequila. I think even that is Angie. Angie is pissed about Lisa saying the circle jerk thing.
Oh, my God.
She's pissed.
You're right. Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And she's coming for her Lisa's fan favorite status, I think.
Yeah.
But you know who's coming for my who's my fan favorite right now?
Who's making you come?
Who's making me come? Brittany's making me come when she stands up holding a plastic Perrier bottle and a plastic knife and says, ding, 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 I have an announcement. Jared and I got engaged.
And everyone's like, whoa, really? Wow. You're going to marry an Osmond?
And then she picks up a different plastic knife and a different wine bottle this time. Mm-hmm. Ding, ding, ding. I've got another announcement.
I have an announcement.
Then 2 weeks later, we got unengaged. We decided our kids aren't on board because we're so on and off.
They don't like each. They don't like us together. So I didn't say anything. This is a while ago.
I'm like, how do you even respond?
And then she just sat back down and was just like, oh my, can you pass the English muffins?
Yeah. Nothing happened.
It's like, oh my God. What?
Then people are trying to figure it out. And she's like, why are you guys grilling me?
Yeah. I just told you something. I just explained my life to you. I told you I was engaged and nobody congratulated me.
And then unengaged, and no one consoled me.
I need a friend right now.
Instead, they ask, is he dating other women? And Brittany's like, I don't think so.
We haven't really talked since like we broke off our engagement.
But we are still seeing each other every day.
Yeah.
But we haven't talked about, you know, are we open?
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He doesn't know I drink.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Whitney is like, I run into him at the gym all the time. Uh-oh. He's always on dates, and he introduces me to them at the Lifetime Cafe. What a cheapskate, taking women for dates at the gym, his expensive gym, because he pays a membership fee and gets the
food. You know what? He's already paying the fee. He might as well get use all the perks that he has.
He should be taking them to Lauren, see Donnie.
That's something you know. Okay, Lauren, that's something you would find attractive in a man because you're so thrifty that you would be like, okay.
Lifetime Cafe. And a free day pass to use the sauna?
Oh, do I get to take one free Pilates class? I'm gonna marry that boy.
Honestly, Pilates classes at Lifetime are like $220 an hour. So
fuck that Osmond.
That's better than like a date to the mansion in terms of like bang for your buck, so to speak. And I would put up for an hour of Pilates.
And a lot less.
Mm-hmm. So then they do kayaking and fly fishing.
Oh my God.
Gwen and Heather kind of make up on the kayak.
Yeah, this is so silly to watch these girls try to like, it was like
wearing waders.
Yeah. And they're like, they're in the river, like trying to like fly fish. And they're like, what is this? And they're like, a fishing line.
Yeah. They're like, I do the rainbow with the, thingy,
what is this?
The string.
What is this? Yeah. They're like, what is this? Like this line, this string. They were like, what is this pole in this string? And they're like, fishing line? And it's like, it's so hard for the, like fisherman who's teaching them to not just like burst into laughter, just like what the fuck is going on.
Mary's like talking about, can we give the fish CPR? It's like, bitch, you eat fish fillets every day from McDonald's.
She was talking about like, okay, like do we throw these fish back? But they're never really the same if you throw them back in, because that's what a lot of fishing is. You just catch and release. But she doesn't think that's enough. They cannot breathe when you put them back in that way. So she's like, we have to give them CPR, but they don't breathe oxygen. And right, so that's what made the whole monologue pretty confusing, but wildly entertaining. She was doing pantomime of like,
okay, she couldn't remember the name. Some kind of song, like, it's like, because you do compressions to staying alive. And
like fish compressions. And it's like,
but I will say, like, even the way Mary, like, she's just so much clearer and easier to follow now, you know? Like, she just talks like a mom does now, you know, where it's like, you know, the guy who was in the thing and then the other person was in it and then you do the thing to the song. It's like, no, I actually totally know what she's saying. I don't know. I feel like she's way more lucid than Meredith. That was like the big takeaway.
Oh, Meredith is, I have no idea where she is and what's going on half the time.
I feel like
she just shows up in a scene.
Yeah, and it's just, she kind of weakens at Bernie's, you know.
Yeah,
I feel like in terms of like lucidity and being... like a new face every year.
And it's moving more to the left right now, her face. But it's also like giving the like baby doll with like the blinky face. Like
blinky eye.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. What was the baby doll we talked about that like the real baby?
Baby born. It
pees.
When baby born cries, she's hungry.
Now with real tears.
So then, they're around the campfire, de-thawing their Boca burgers over an open flame and eating cold bagels.
Wild. Yeah. Like, it's like they didn't even try to like thaw these burgers. They just put like frozen burgers on a stick. Mary Cosby's holding a stick from the woods with like a frozen veggie burger and trying just to like put dripping. It in English. Like, and she's like, this is not my trip. This is not my idea.
And so, Bronwyn and Heather talk about that they kayaked out their differences. And Angie is like, do you think it's nature or do you think it's the fact that Lisa isn't here? Mm-hmm. And Heather's like, oh, that's such a shitty thing to say. And like Angie's like, well, would you be mean to Bronwyn if Lisa were here so Lisa likes you? And then Heather chews and spits. Did you see this? She takes the food out of her mouth, spits it, throws it, and says, who else doesn't like Lisa? I was like, this was no one called out how weird this was.
Oh,
like
God.
That she did a full chew and spit. I guess maybe they all think it's normal too. And then they kind of like it's kind of like they look around. It's kind of everyone. Like Lisa, remember after the reunion, she went on that Twitter rampage where she was like replying to people with like 7 followers.
Oh my
who had
God.
Like she was like searching her name. Like someone would be like, be saying something mean about like Bronwyn and how Lisa was right. And it's like, you know,
Thank you.
Random.
This is like what I've been trying to tell everybody.
Yes. It's like she went off. And it was also when all of those stories were coming out about the lawsuits. And I guess that's kind of when their filming started. So it was like, they're like, this is the moment. This is the time. We're all taking her down.
Mm-hmm.
Brittany interrupts and says, I have a question.
Oh my God.
Why would you say you do Jared for money? She says to like Whitney, like
Whitney's
she doesn't
like,
even say it to Whitney. Like Whitney's like, wait, is this about me? We're talking to Lisa.
It was so random. We were going from Mary Cosby, like not knowing how to cook a frozen burger to like, who else hates Lisa? And then Brittany, I have a question.
But that's what a good friend Brittany is, that she's like, let's talk more. Wait, Whitney, call me a prostitute more instead of us saying bad things about Lisa.
Yeah.
She is like on a mission.
Let's circle back on how I'm a whore.
Yeah. Like as a good Mormon, she's always on a mission.
I need her to write a book, Good Mormon.
The Good Mormon.
The Good Mormon.
Yeah. And so Whitney, Whitney's really funny in this scene, I think, that she just kind of takes over and goes, I had a business that failed.
I had a full business.
I lost all our money. We have nothing.
We have nothing. I'm poor. See this red hair?
It's like, we have nothing.
Yeah. And then Brittany's like, oh.
That's all I can afford now.
Yeah, and Brittany's like, okay. And sorry. Then Brittany just, she Liv. Cannot read a room. She cannot read a person. She cannot. She cannot. She walks over. They're all like on the campfire. And Brittany walks over to Whitney to try to give her a hug. And Whitney's like, no. Like literally pushing she Brittany cringes. Away.
She's like, ugh, I'm not ready.
Yeah, she's like, get away from me.
Get away, get away. And then Brittany, I love Brittany's like really determined to save face this year. She's like, I'm not a punching bag anymore. So after Whitney's like, get away, Brittany goes, well, I still want an apology for the dick sucking. He's like, got her.
Got her ass. Yeah, everybody's like, we're poor. I have nothing left. My life is shambles. My business has failed.
Yeah, and Brittany, like, before that, she, like, refused, because she's such a good Mormon. She was like, you said that I was doing him for money. You were saying that I S'd his D. Yeah. And then, like, when Whitney's like, I'm not ready for a hug, Brittany, like, is like, well, I was just wanting an apology for the dick sucking. And everyone goes, whoa, Brittany, whoa, come on, language. Come on, Brittany. So good. I love the skull drag her, dude.
She's so amazing. And her makeup, like, it never smears.
I mean, she's kind – yeah, it's like airbrush. I mean, I think she does Lisa Barlow's makeup now. Like, they have the same, like, glam.
She's so
I feel
smooth.
Like she's borrowed
yeah.
her team. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's why she's so loyal to her, is Lisa yeah. lets her yeah. use her airbrush mm-hmm. team. Mm-hmm. But she has to use her own hair socks. Mm-hmm. So then Meredith decides to jump in for 2 minutes of
she
the episode.
She woke up and she goes, oh, there's a fire.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Let me
here I
go
am.
After Brittany for 3 minutes. Like, yeah. Heather talks about, like, Brittany, like, kicking a one-legged dog while it's down. But honestly, that's Meredith to me with Brittany, where it's like, she is doing the thing we're accusing Heather of, where it's like, this is by far the easiest person to have a conflict with, mm-hmm. where it's like, just shit on Brittany for 2 minutes at the end of the episode, and then, like, you know, take a Xanax, lie
Calm
back to
down.
Yeah. But yeah, Meredith is like, the one person who was kind to you, you went after. And Brittany's like, you? And Meredith's like, I'm not interested. And Brittany's like, well, we were friends. And this is really funny. Meredith ends her, like, Meredith is half in the bag, one lidded, and she still can absolutely dog walk yeah. Brittany. It's so good. She's like, have I ever picked up the phone and called you once? Brittany goes, twice. And we went to lunch, and I thought it was nice.
Yeah, I thought it was a nice lunch. We're so close.
Everyone is like laughing.
Yeah. You're basically my wedding.
Nerd is like, I find you to be absolutely uninteresting. And then back to like, sunglasses back on in the dark. Back to sleeping with her
yep.
eyes open.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Waiting for someone to like move her to go to the next scene. Move her right. like lifeless body.
Honestly, that's what they're. So then we've got like some more camcorder genre mm-hmm. haunting Molly Sorensen yeah. footage. But it should have been. Like Blair Witch Project, yeah. Meredith is like sitting facing the wall, and
with
like
with snot running Meredith. Down her nose.
Yes, yes, and then mm-hmm. that is like a kind of more of a reenactment. I don't know. How did you feel about all this genre horror?
I don't. Yeah, I just thought it was kind of silly. Like, I don't think we needed it. Maybe a touch of it would have been kind
little.
Of funny.
Yeah,
but this was like too over the top, and we just didn't need it. Like, the girls are so good on their own.
Yeah, it's like I get how it kind of works with Salt Lake City because it's such a genre-ish mm-hmm. show. Like, they're so cartoony and yeah. like they love to, you know, kind of do that genre type thing. But like, we didn't need 4 minutes
that
of it
much,
at the
top, you know,
4 minutes at the end. Like, that's like I could have used more Brittany talking.
I needed more. You know? I needed to. I want to see Brittany do a hair tutorial.
Yes, yes. I just want more of our girls and yeah. less of like. I don't like when the editors are like, look at me editing. Mm-hmm. I'm like, look, you guys are geniuses.
I get it. You went to NYU film school. I know.
Yes. Yeah. And like,
Spielberg's going to call any day now.
And he should. We'll never stop screaming your praises. You guys deserve Emmy noms. Like, you guys are great. But, like, when it's like, look at me, look how good I'm editing.
It's an illusion.
Words in four words. Ooh, it's spooky. Added the camcorder frame. I'm like, okay, you know, it's about the ladies. Let's really be highlighting the story and the ladies.
The
not
ladies
highlighting the
on
editing.
The bus. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, because they're the stars. They're
the
stars.
It's not the
editors
are
the unsung
heroes.
Burgers. Take a short break, and we will, when we get back, we will talk about episode 11, season 19 of Orange County.
Orange County.
A Tale of Two Parties.
Mm-hmm. These girls are having a break.
All right, let's get into it. When we last left off on OC, this is kind of becoming another cliche for the OC franchise, where it's like we have two parties going on, the dueling parties.
The dueling parties.
I think actually for the sake of simplicity, let's do the Heather, Emily, Gretchen party, and then we'll do the Shannon and Tamar party.
Gotcha.
Instead of going back and forth. Mm-hmm. So we left off with Tamara and Shannon. At dinner
in Temecula,
and Shannon really finally gets into how much Tamara has hurt her, and her bellowing Shannon voice comes out. She goes full Shan. Mm-hmm. And then back at Crustacean, Heather, Emily, and Gretchen are talking about Tamara and Heather
talking
and Tamara's relationship. Talking Tamara. They also recount something that happened that we didn't see in the episode, that apparently they were stopped on the street by a random, like, middle-aged lesbian who said, "I know for a fact, Heather Dubrow, you did not call the paparazzi." We're like, wait, what?
It was like a random paparazzi that just happened to be taking their pictures, and she was like, "Listen, this is not staged, but I know for a fact." Because all paparazzi talk to each other. You didn't call one of us.
You didn't call them. Yeah. Because we all know each other. And
yeah, we all know.
Also,
yeah.
Like, there was no, guilt. she didn't show her paparazzi badge. Like, how do you even know?
She was holding a camera.
No. Like,
it was just
straight
like a
out of
little woman
casting.
Just like, jumped into
the rodeo. She was a groundling. 100% she was a groundling.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. She said, Heather was like, "Can you come on the show?" And she said, "Yes, and."
Yep. Yes, and.
Yes, and I will clear your name.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
She added to it.
Yeah. So Heather, so they're getting deeper into the girls are like, you only defend Tamara because you're scared of her.
Yeah.
Heather's like, "No, it's because it's my job." But also she's like, we see that Heather has been trying to do her own storyline with Tamara about her dad's anger.
Right.
Growing up, and how, he had public outbursts, and it was really embarrassing.
It was embarrassing. It was a little scary. It's, it's uncomfortable, and we don't like it.
Yeah. And it's triggering. But Tamara, every time she tries to bring it up, Tamara is like, "No, this is my storyline. I'm sad. Teddy's brain cancer.
How dare you?"
Yeah. And so it's like Heather's getting frustrated. Mm-hmm. And then and Emily and Gretchen are like, "We'll always listen to your storylines, Heather.
We'll always listen to your storylines. Thank you for paying for this very expensive lunch that Bravo definitely didn't pay for. And also for this party we're about to have in your penthouse in Beverly Hills that they also didn't foot the bill for."
No. And Emily says in her talking head, and this is what I think is true. This is what we always say about Tamara, everyone, because people are like, Tamara is such a mean bully. Da, da, da. It's like, Emily's like, she is just not, you can't think she's your real friend. She's always strategizing. When she's on camera, she's at work and she's gonna.
She's at work, but she clocks into work.
Yeah. I mean, she was
and
wearing
that's a controversial thing, but like, we don't have a show without Tamara. Sorry, guys.
We tried
it didn't work. Sorry, yeah. She's annoying and she's loud and she's mean and she's not a great friend. But she's got a smooth ass face and she will make you great television.
Yeah, I mean, do I think that her methods, like we said, are a little unrefined?
They're unorthodox.
No, they're too orthodox. I think they're too 20. Tens, but it's like, if it ain't broke, don't fix it,
Hey, whatever works. She's a method reality star.
And she's willing to go like there. Lisa Vanderpump wasn't willing to be exposed as like a cold-hearted strategizing.
Right. She just had other people do it. Brady yeah. was her mouthpiece.
Right. Whereas Tamara, it's like now she is kind of exposed.
She
tried to back down at the beginning of the season, mm-hmm. but then she's like, nope, I am who I am. Mm-hmm. I'm doubling down. And it's like, we have to appreciate that she's sacrificing her family, love, possibly Eddie, all of this just
sponsors.
To be mean to her co-stars on the show so we have a show.
So we have like, something to be look forward to.
Yeah.
Like, that's so Christ-like.
The she's sacrifice. Christ-like, generous. Yeah. She's pint-sized, baptized, highly prized, Christ-like. Mm-hmm. You know what? And then Gretchen also says to Heather in this scene, this was like really blew me away. She's like, Gretchen says, we're drawn to people like our parents, hoping for a different outcome. I'm like, oh my God, did Gretchen actually go to like a real like therapist instead of like a priest who does?
I don't know. She didn't hear that from Slade.
No, I'm like, that's so insightful, especially from her who like accidentally called her dad like Jeff a few times on camera.
Oh my God.
Anyway, so they go to the Abbey, which is a huge, used to be the biggest.
The Pink Pony Club. That's what the song's about. It's about the Abbey.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it's like it was always like a line out the door for hours.
You don't get in there unless you're like famous.
But I'm like, did COVID hit them hard or did Heather rent it out?
I think she kind of rented out. There's nobody in there. I think if it was as loud as it normally would be, like they couldn't film.
Yeah, I can't imagine like WeHo being. Well, maybe, I don't know. Pump closed.
And also,
Pump
like was, who knows Pump what time of
like
the
Abbey?
Maybe it was like a Wednesday, like a Tuesday night
at like 3 a.m.
Yeah,
after
there was
hours.
A, like Saturday.
Night. Maybe. That was just all. I was like, huh. I wonder. Well, if you're in LA, tell us what the Abbey's doing. Okay, I know a lot. COVID hit a
it's
lot.
It's also where Raquel and Tom Sandoval made out the first time.
That's right. Where who caught them dancing?
James.
James's girlfriend, Abby, ex-girlfriend. Ugh. So they take the limo back from the Abbey after they dance with male strippers. There's a drag queen.
You know who it is.
It's mostly like, it's like, okay, I really hated all of this because really this whole sleeping party is like, it seems like it's under the guise of like, we're bonding with Gretchen. And Gretchen is being so fake drunk and performative and obnoxious. And it's like, but
her hair
luckily,
never moves.
Never is uncoiffed. Yeah.
It's insane.
And so on the limo back, Gretchen recites her script
her
in a
monologue.
Fake drunk accent. Let's do karaoke. Will they play my song? I have four songs. Did you know Tamara
like,
tried to be a singer? And
yeah,
I have the
like,
audio.
You have a song? And then Gretchen's like, I have four.
I have four songs. Tamara has a song. She used to be a singer. I have the audio. It's not very good. It was in the studio. And there's the audio if you guys want to hear it. And they're like,
but also
what?
The audio isn't really a song. It's just her having sex with bleep.
Bleep. Which is, we learned from celebritydirt.net, one of our many very
one of our sources.
Publications. One of our sources. That it's
no
the
paywall.
And Gretchen also says that Heather was, or Tamara was married at the time.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So then we go to Heather's house where she set up three twin beds for them to
her
sleep
D-Lux
in.
Her deluxe apartment in the sky.
In the sky. Moving on up in the elevator to the penthouse, to their mosquito-netted colonial era India beds.
Yeah, like, they each got, like, they weren't even twin beds. They were like, whatever smaller than a twin bed. They each got their own, but it had mosquito nets and fairy lights and like pajamas.
It very much said to me like, I don't want like, if Bravo, if you want to see not the living room, not the foyer of my house. If you want to see the actual beds, if you want to see the actual mm-hmm. what's going on, put me on Beverly Hills. Mm-hmm. She was just giving them a little peek.
Yeah, just a little peek. And then she was also like, this cost me $15,000. This candy bar. I have all these different candies for our sleepover. And Papa John's pizza. This was $15,000.
You know that Terry's probably friends with Papa John. He's like, yeah, I know. My he's problematic. God, he loves like, so that funny.
Guy. Yeah, he's like, yeah, he did his nose. I did his face.
Yeah. So then, Gretchen and Emily do some like pillow fight.
Oh, yeah, this hygiene. Is so, yeah. And I'm, and Heather's like, here, you can use these pillows. These are the prop pillows. I stole them from the Groundlings. You can't use my real pillows.
Yeah, they're goose feather.
These are prop.
Yeah, these are prop pillows, but they've been used by Will Ferrell. So, anyway, so then. So then Emily is like, so tell us more about this song. I'm intrigued. Yeah. And Gretchen says in her like fake drunk voice, Slay has the audio. Someone
I have to call Slade.
I got to call Slade.
I've got to FaceTime my husband. He's not really my husband. I have to call Slade.
And Emily is careful to just ask, we just want to hear this song. And Slade says, oh, I have the audio and there's audio of sex. And Heather is like, oh, okay, that's gross. We just want to hear the song.
Yeah, so Slade is disgusting, and he's like, do you want the song, or do you want to hear her fucking somebody while she's married to another person?
And I love that it cuts to the talking head of Emily being like, Slade loves that shit because he's a nasty little bitch. He comes to that shit.
Yeah. Like, oh my God. Emily was great. No, and then like, she was really good. She hates Gretchen.
She and Heather planned this to a T. Like, yeah. Emily is the one who really sold it. Like, Heather, like, distracted with all the hostess stuff mm-hmm. and, like, really whining and dining Gretchen. And Emily was like, Gretchen, you're so fun. You're so fun,
you're
Gretchen.
You're such a girl's girl.
Yeah,
you're such a girl's girl.
You're not a friend of. You're like a real cast
member. Yeah, you're like a real, you're a real cast member now.
And so,
why is your husband disgusting?
Well, they are very careful to save that. They execute this just so beautifully.
Perfectly.
So then they're like, Gretchen, you know, she's thinking she's pulling one over
on
them.
She's like, oh, okay, I got Heather on my side. I got Emily on my side.
On my side. And now I'm turning them against Tamara, and I have the perfect trap where I'm like, Slade is the one who gave them this information, not me. And then after we hang up with him, I'm like, guys, I just brought up the song. And if you guys tell Tamara about the sex and the affair stuff, then it's actually you guys who are being bad, not me.
Not me.
And Heather's like, what? Too late. Like, and Gretchen's like pretending to be drunk. She's like, I want to tell you about the song.
I don't remember, but oh my God, there's cameras.
Yeah. So then they wake up at the Dubro Manor for part two of the plan. Heather did not sleep in one of the triplet beds.
No, she didn't sleep in a triplet bed. I don't really think she slept in those pajamas. She changed into the pajamas the next morning.
Yes. And Heather and Emily, they both have no makeup on. They look gorgeous, fresh face, beautiful. Gretchen has done half drag. She's done like half of her drag makeup, like a contour, a quick blush. Like her
the
eyelashes
are
all wonky.
She gets up. She gets like Botox of hair. It doesn't move.
She's helmet head, dude.
It's
like she's
crazy.
Aquanet.
And I still think she looks like Pan's Labyrinth with those lashes.
She looks like she would have been better off just doing no makeup like them. Like she looks crazy in the morning.
She looks
to me.
Crazy. Looks like Instagram filters.
Yes, it looked with her makeup like that, which I guess is like that's like her, you know, like on Drag Race they do quick drag, which is like 15-minute drag. It's as much drag as you can do, and they always look insane. And that was her. She is like
so clogged.
She has like pink spots on her cheeks. Yeah, like half of her face is foundation, and the other half is like not done. With a contour, like
she
the lines.
She looks like Toddlers and Tierra. She's looking like JonBenet every time.
Yes, but no, but yeah, this was. But in the morning, like when she hasn't fully finished her shellacked process, it really was like how the sausage is made, you know. Mm-hmm. So then they order eggs from the chef. Emily orders eggs over hard.
And the chef is like, are you seriously ordering that? I like that the chef was like, I don't want to make that. That's disgusting.
And Heather's like, I will also have over hard, but no cheese and whites only, please.
Yeah, but she was like, but over hard, but yes. Egg whites only, no cheese. Also, I want it as an omelet. And then my guests can have whatever they want. And they were like, we kind of had a prefixed menu. And then Gretchen's like, can I have three poached eggs with hollandaise? Like everyone orders something completely different, but they've already prepped brunch.
Not a prefix.
And then guess who's coming to brunch?
Guess who's coming to brunch and maybe staying? It's Terry, who, of course, wants to be a part of this plan.
I was like totally expecting when he walked through the door to hear the like 90s Terry sitcom like
track.
The 90s, like the like audience clapping.
Yeah, he's so Kramer. So he comes in. And the Dubrows, this is also perfectly done. They lure Gretchen into a sense of complacency. They're like, Heather's like, Terry's never been happier. He wants a sleep divorce. And Terry's like, why? And Gretchen's.
That's a honeymooners reference.
Yeah. And Gretchen's like, oh, I'm part of it too. Slade snores and I make him sleep on the couch. And then it's like a record scratch. And Emily goes, do you ever think about getting married?
And then
Gretchen's like, what? And Heather's
she's
like, I remember.
Very uncomfortable. Like, yeah, she's Homer Simpson in the bushes.
Ooh. Yes. And like, but you know what I like about, what I like about Gretchen in certain episodes of the season, what's coming out is she's just so hateful. You can see the hate on her face coming
she's
out
so
like,
stupid.
You fucking bitches. And, but they keep going. They
oh,
just keep
yeah.
Pressing.
Emily doesn't, like, this is the only time that I was like, oh my God, maybe she really was a lawyer. Like
yeah.
The way that she's like asking questions. I was like, Gretchen's like on the stand and Terry's just eating. He's eating one of these ladies' eggs because none of them touched
none
any
of them were eating. He's just taking
just
play
like,
after
he's
play.
He's literally like, it's like
up.
Popcorn during a movie. It's like, yes, yes, go off, Emily. Drag her.
Over hard eggs into his mouth.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, Heather's like, I remember years ago you didn't want to take on his back debt, but that's all handled now, right?
Yeah, it's handled, right? He doesn't have any more financial problems.
Has no more child support he owes to the mother of his
Gretchen's
child.
Like, well, and it's better than it was 16 years ago, but yeah, I don't want to take on any of that. And then Heather's like, so you guys don't have like any shared finances?
Yeah, like, it's like, is everything financially separate? Does he pay rent? And Gretchen's like, well, I don't know. I mean, no, he doesn't pay rent.
She's like, why would he be paying me rent? And then Heather's like, well, it sounds like the house is just in your name. He's not on your, you know, he's not on the mortgage with you. And Terry, Heather, all of my money. We just share everything.
Yeah. We're like one person. Ha, ha, ha.
Yeah.
And then and Gretchen like is like, okay, ha, ha, we're laughing again. And then Emily goes, so who pays for groceries?
do you send him a Venmo?
And she's like, I guess it comes out of my account. Yeah, and she's like, and then she's like, I feel like this is weird.
Yeah.
And then Heather's like, no, we think this is weird. Mm-hmm. Like, and then Heather, her talking head is like, well, you know, she like came onto this show this season and was like mad that, you know, we thought it was bullshit when she got engaged, but it was
it kind of was bullshit. It, yeah.
She didn't want to.
You're like, they'll never get married. And you know what? That's okay to never get married. Like a lot of people, you don't have to be married. It's just like Gretchen and Slade are a gross couple and Slade is a disgusting person.
Well, it's insane. It's insane that Gretchen, she's just so stupid. She came on the show to clear her name and attack Tamara for calling Slade a deadbeat when she's still not married to him and he's still unemployed because then he would have to pay the hundreds of thousands of dollars of back taxes and child support he owes to the mother of his deceased child. And it's like, and you expect no one to say that? Like, are you out of your mind?
And also just like, and Slade is just always like, it is weird that all he talks about are the other women. Like, I'm like, does he even have friends? And I mean, I know that they have a child together and that's great. And they have a really cute kid and
Well, we wouldn't know. She puts a filter over her face.
But also, like,
I don't know what she looks like.
Like, the thing, too, with, like, the house that she lives in, like, this was the house that I think Jeff got her. I don't think she's ever lived in – since she's been on OC, like, when she was on – like, when she first was on with – when Jeff was still around. Like, that's been her house.
Yeah. That's all he left her. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But so, yeah, and then Emily really puts it well when she said, Slate's got a crooked penis and he's not working. What is he contributing to the relationship? I'm like,
okay. So
maybe you took groundlings too.
I know. Ooh, how are those eggs over hard?
So then they're all in their chair massages and Gretchen's trying to reset. She's trying to get things back onto her storyline. She's like, well, y'all got me in trouble last night. I just wanted to talk about the song. Slade told y'all the other stuff. So it's your fault if you tell about the affair. It's like Gretchen's, she's still acting like I am baby. Like I'm just, but it, like even looking, even looking back, like when she was doing that on Housewives, it's like she was 31 when she came on Housewives. She was never really baby, you know, but she was always like, I'm baby. Gotta love me. And so she was like, yeah, Slate just told you the other stuff. It's y'all's fault if you tell like Tamara about the tape of her having an affair we have. And then the ladies are just like not even like couching with her. They're like, well, Slate's your henchman. Like he's delivering that message to you.
Do it. Yeah.
For it's you, just you know. Disgusting. And then they're like, she's like, no, I mean, if you guys spread it, it's your fault, not mine. And they're like, you guys, you're trying to make us the villain. You're the one who hatched this whole plan. They're like, just completely
also,
turning
like,
on
her.
Also,
you're the one who's like in a relationship with Slade. And so you have to actually be defending his disgusting behavior.
Yeah, you cannot pin it on us when it's like, we're not going to, you think you're going to play us, Gretchen? You think you're
going to play us. When you get outplayed by Emily... It's really
bad. That's embarrassing.
Embarrassing.
Oh my gosh. And Heather Dubrow, the fact that you thought you could outsmart her, she's going to wish you. You're going to wish you never
been born,
Gretchen. Yeah, your chair masseuse, she actually is a chiropractor. Yeah, and she is going to mess up your C5 forever during this conversation.
And Terry's still just watching all this happen. He's still eating all those eggs.
All those eggs, popping them into his mouth. And then Emily's like, you said Tamara's a horrible person who accused you of having an affair, and you're kind of doing the exact same thing.
You did the exact same thing.
And Gretchen's like, well, no, I mean, I guess I am. But the difference is, like, she started it. And then Emily's like, you're the same person. You guys are exactly the same person. And then Heather's like, well, bye, guys. Get the fuck out of my house.
Bye, girls. This is a fun night. Fun sleepover for the girlies. Again, it was $15,000. Take some Papa John's pizza with you.
Yeah. So this was, even though it was really difficult for me to watch them indulging Gretchen at the beginning, it made it all
worth it.
It
made it
so how bad the mean girls were at the end.
We got to pull her in and then
pounce. I love it.
I love it. The only thing that was hard watching this episode, well, we watched it together because we had to watch it with commercials.
And no
subtitles, you guys. Yeah, the hotel we stayed at, they didn't have subtitles.
Yeah. So we did not have a working remote.
Yeah, so if we got this entire recap wrong, I'm sorry.
Sorry.
We did the best that we could.
Yeah.
No, sorry.
It really showed us how dependent we are on them.
So dependent. That's why I told you. That's why I don't go to the movies, though. That's literally that's the number one reason I don't go to the movies, because there's no subtitles.
Is always hard for me. But apparently they have subtitles in some theaters now. Okay, that's boring. Okay, so then let's get into the Tamara and Shannon of it all.
The shenanigans.
So we are back at the table after Shannon outburst, and then they do kind of find a resolution. They're going to make the best of the rest of the day at Temecula, or rest of the night and morning at Temecula Spa and Resorts. They go back to the house, which looks so much like Miraval. Like the rock fire, like it reminds me so much of the big house. And then like, you know, Gina went to stay at the casita. but it's like, look how far we've all come.
Look how far we've come. She's in the main house now.
To main house. From OC Junior to main house. From casita to casa. So Gina smokes her Dubro joint. And I'll say this about Gina in this episode. She is genuinely stoned.
Yeah.
Usually
she's
on Housewives.
Not fake stone like Terry.
Like Terry, or just in general. I feel like they pretend to get loopy.
Like
and like
Mauricio when he was
no.
like, hey.
Yeah.
No, this girl's high.
This girl's hot. You can see the way she's chewing gum and half-lidded and her eyes are so red. It's like, she's stoned.
Yeah, and she's just chugging that Diet Coke. Like, she's got cotton mouth.
Yeah, and for that, I have to – the fact that she's lets herself get stoned on TV, we salute you, Gina.
We salute you. I'm telling you, when Emily and Gina are kind of, like, separate.
Separated,
I think
they
are so much stronger.
I think it's this hard. Is where they really shine as they're good utility players.
They
you know?
Really are. And so when we separate them, they're doing amazing work.
Yes, because really it's like they kind of have their own – they've kind of invented their own niche where they are friend of energy. Like they don't require too much. Their storylines are really boring and fast-forwardable and not really – connected to the other women's.
Exactly.
They're mostly, and kind of Heather Dubrow is like this too. Mm-hmm. They're kind of all utility players.
Yeah.
And even though the season started slow, I think the three of them are really kind of keeping it on its axis.
Right.
Like, I appreciate the structure that they give it. You know, they're all pros.
They show up. They show up.
But again, you don't want too many of them in one scene because then we're not getting any.
We're not getting anything. Yeah.
Anything.
Then we're just getting Shannon crying in the corner.
Exactly.
Which we do like.
Which we like, yeah. We'd rather have Shannon crying like for 45 minutes in an episode than a scene of Emily, Gina, and Heather Dubrow for like 20 minutes in it.
No.
So, No.
I would just watch 45 minutes of Shannon crying.
Yes. Oh, yeah. I wish they would do that. They should put live feeds in her house.
Yeah. Yeah. I just want to see her crying with Archie.
I want to see her doing her – that she's apparently trying to be a competitive Sudoku player, she told us.
Oh, my God.
Episode.
Yeah, she's like, I'm perfectly fine by myself. I'm healthy. I don't drink too much. I sit there and I'm getting really good at Sudoku.
I time myself every time, and every time I'm faster. I'm like, what?
What is going on?
Again, she's really going full delightfully Daffy. But, hey, it's good TV. So then – Shannon, Tamara got everyone like bikini t-shirts and
she didn't feel comfortable in a bathing suit. So Shannon or Tamara's like, so I got everyone like oversized t-shirts with like,
but even that, it's like, that's the kind of thing where I'm like, I don't know. I feel like
it's a little shady because also Tamara still wore a bikini and then she like kind of cut the shirt. So it was like sexy shoulders. And then when she got in the hot tub, she just took it off really.
Yeah. And this is why Tamara, this is why Derek don't like you, to quote Drag Race. This is why, like, you know, this is why it's tough for people when you actually develop a resentment and jealousy towards your co-stars like she does with Jen and Shannon. Like, it's like, keep it professional when you're ruining their lives is kind of how
right.
I feel. Where it's like you actually seem like you're jealous of these girls and you're trying to put them down by like the fatty photo or like, you know, like being like making Shannon feel bad about her body because you are...
Yeah, because you know. By doing that, she still has to say, like, why she did it. Like, Shannon's the one who didn't feel Shannon's the one who feels uncomfortable. I will say it was kind of funny, though, when Shannon had the t-shirt on, but then she put, like, the Mrs. Roper robe over it, and then she had the swim cap on, and the swim cap was, like, you know, like...
No, she did it perfectly because her...
Yeah, she had and it was like all the flowers. But then she was just laying in bed with her like...
Yeah, she was like falling asleep.
And like Jen was like, what are you doing? And Shannon's like, I'm tired.
Yeah, that was great. And also that like, yeah, Shannon's grandma would wear swim caps. So she's got to like fix everyone.
Perfectly. And she was fixing everyone else's swim caps and telling them how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I like Jen and Shannon's like... talk. I actually really like the way that everyone's handling Tamara this season where like they're kind of just being honest about this
her
is Tamara as a coworker.
And how it's,
it's like
how it's affected them.
Yes. Like with Shannon, it's like she's not BSing when we get into it later, like that, you know, like that this is, or yeah, like
the, this is her real life. Episode,
this is, Tamara was one of her good friends.
I know.
Like, and same with Jen. She was good friends with Tamara until she started the show. Mm-hmm. So now they're trying to have more of a coworker approach to her. Like Jen says to Shannon, look, Gina, you know, she's only known her as a coworker. And she's like, I care about Tamara. I like her. I like filming with her. I don't get into my deep, dark secrets with her because she's going to use them against you. And that's just where you've got to get with her because we all work together, you know? And so you can't be like Gretchen and, you know, hold on to Tamara making you look like shit on camera for 10 years, you know, because it's or like get into a war with her because it's just not a good look.
It's just, yeah, it's exhausting.
Yeah. So then, they take pictures in the swim caps and they all look like full drag queens because they have such heavy makeup on and then the wig caps.
So much makeup on. And then Jen like comes up with like a little like land routine and with her, Shannon, she's like, Shannon, plug your nose, Shannon. Move your arms, Shannon. Twist your
I did want to know what you thought of this as a former synchronized swimmer.
That was actually not bad. So that's a real thing in synchronized swimming called land drills, where you kind of like do the routine outside, like so how you kind of practice if you're not in the water, so you can get your counts and stuff together. So I was like, I wonder if Jen took a few lessons in synchronized swimming.
Oh, yeah. Maybe one of her like
five kids. That was a real thing that you do in synchronized swimming.
Maybe she and Ryan, do they have duos teams for synchronized swimming?
They do. Yeah. They're called, they do duets. Yeah. And men are allowed in synchronized swimming now. And they don't call it synchronized swimming anymore. And I think they call it artistic swimming.
Yeah. Artistic swimming. Wow. Men finally broke the wet ceiling. Of
and they're all gay.
I hope so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, not to be prejudiced, but get hetero men out of synchronized
get
swimming.
Get the fuck out of the pool.
I'll let the men in, but straight men.
No, you've
go
gone too
away.
Far. You guys have everything.
I'm tired of straight men. I'm tired of straight white men. And I know that our husbands are that.
Yeah, but that's why we're tired of them. Like, we're around them all the time.
They're kind
of
gay.
Yeah. That's like the one thing I feel like that Cam could work on is I would like him more if he was gay.
Be more gay,
please. So then all the ladies are in the hot tub and Shannon, Gina tries to offer Shannon a toke, but she has a cough.
She has a cough.
And they do talk about, this is bold of Gina to get into. She's like, I do worry about your drinking taking a toll, which is a view that we've been expressing a little bit on the podcast.
Oh, but before they get into the serious thing, Gina's like, I feel like you've had the cough for a really long time. And Shannon's like, 9 years.
9 years. Yeah. And Gina's like, what are you, Doc Holliday? Do you have tuberculosis? Like,
what did you, bronchitis?
I have bronchial trachitis. So one of the deckhands got on below deck to leave for the season. But it is like, you know, it's crazy because we watched a lot of Roni this week too. And those girls, we're never worried. Well, Sonia, we get a little worried about.
We watched a
now.
Lot of reality TV.
We did. That was the bulk of it.
How much the world was falling apart around us.
But like those girls are like kind of steady, you know, like Luann, I'm never, you know, worried, you know, like Ramona, we're not worried about her health. There's Shannon, though. She's like, because she's like old money
and
there's something like
crying a lot.
She's like a delicate bird.
She's a little delicate bird. Yeah. And she's got a cough and she's had it for 9 years.
She's got a cough. So there's just something a little bit like, you know,
not well bitch about
wings
her.
Of the dove, you know, like a Victorian wealthy.
She is the type of woman that they made fainting couches for. In Victorian eras.
Right. Yes. Like she, we're worried she'll catch typhoid from drinking too much laudanum.
Consumption,
a wasting disease. Mm-hmm. You know, she's honestly, she is like Doc Holliday where, it's like she's drinking laudanum to, to ease her troubled throat.
Yeah. She's had a cough for 9 years, but she refuses to take an antibiotic.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's, you know, it is a little, I think she'll be okay. But it's like
probably tone down the drinking, especially since she got a DUI would be a good thing. But
Right. You know, I guess there's, it's like mostly it's like Shannon is so, I think it's really who you're surrounded by. Cause like, honestly, compared to like Roni, like OC, they're not really that heavy drinkers. So that's why, like, if Shannon was in the Roni cast, I think we'd be like, she's fine. You know,
we wouldn't even, we would never have discussed it because there's just so many other people drinking. Like if Sonia and Shannon together, like Sonia is going to, they can drink, those girls could drink Shannon under the table. And I think Shannon's probably, she's definitely probably the heaviest drinker on OC. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's just a relative thing. I actually, like, the more I talk about it, the less worried I am. I'm like, I'm way more worried about Dorinda.
I just think...
or Sonia, you know, than Shannon.
Oh my God, yeah.
In terms of, like, people I want to call wellness check on, like, Shannon presence? Is, like, oof. Down the list. Yeah, yeah. Social media.
Except she got the DUI. Yeah. That's not good.
That's not good, but it's like, at least, you know, what, you want to drink a little? I'd rather you do it in the house, you know? And her dad lived to 96, and, well, we're about to learn, he was a bit of a drinker. Didn't seem to affect his health. He's still sprightly as a lamb.
Don't
still doing the heart
him.
Rate challenge. Don't talk about him. Okay, yeah, let's wrap it up. So it's in the morning, and Shannon makes some hash brown and white.
Morning with a U.
Yes, in the morning.
In the morning.
And yeah, Shannon is making breakfast, and Tamara is really trying to be a control freak
cunt.
Here too.
Oh,
at least that's what the editing
freak.
Shows. Yeah, she is. She's like, oh, like, yeah.
Yeah,
like,
and Shannon,
you know,
is like,
oh,
like
Shannon, are you going golfing? Are you going to take me to
she's
golf?
Making
are you gonna,
for
am I ever going to see
is
your
like,
new house? Da-da-da. And Shannon's like, oh, just because we like, it's
Shannon's
like
trying
she's
trying to read
bait
her cookbook
her into a fight. She's not like all the ladies who are like, oh, Tamara's trying so hard for them to be friends again. It's like, no, she's still baiting her. She's still poking her. And then we, you know, but Shannon's not biting. And then after breakfast, they go sit outside.
By the way, like, and Shannon making breakfast for everyone, like, that's crazy. I've never seen her cook. And she was like making like pastries and like hash browns and eggs. Like, she used all of
yeah,
her
she brought all
those she brought.
Cuisine arts. Yeah.
Yeah.
She really did. We shouldn't have doubted her. She used it all. Yeah. And like, I think it is, it, you know, does go to show, like, you know, maybe she is like, well,
I'm going
to
look up a cauliflower hash brown. I'm going to make one of those.
Like, but that's what she likes to do. Remember, like, famously, her first dinner that she hosted on the show, she tried to feed all of the crew her pork chops or whatever.
And she didn't cook those potatoes right.
Yeah.
But we forgave her.
We forgave her. So, yeah, so they're sitting outside, and Jen, who was, yeah, again, like, kind of surprising me with her insight sometimes, and then, like, in the next minute, shocking me with her naivete. But she's like, Jen, she's like, Shannon, I've noticed, like, you're really extreme. Like, it's,
you
like, all of a sudden.
Extreme emotions.
Reactions. Like, everything's great, and then all of a sudden, you're ripping off your mic and running to the bathroom, like, every episode.
We told you, Shannon's basically, she's a mixture of Moaning Myrtle and Kathy from Kathy Comics. Like,
and Kathy,
it's a Monday.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the two extremes of the feminine experience.
Mm-hmm.
Kathy and Moaning Myrtle. And she swings from one to the other.
That's my glorious diadem.
And the feminine, the Shannon and mystique. So yeah, Shannon's like, yes, I catastrophize. I'm working on it in therapy. I grew up in a lot of chaos. Like, I had to lie to, you know, my dad. Like, I found out that my mom was leaving him.
Yeah. And you could tell, like, with all this, like, oh my God, I think she really goes to real therapy. And then I think Tamara's like, how often are you in therapy? Because Tamara's whole thing is, I go to therapy now. And Shannon's like, mm-hmm. I go multiple times a week.
Yeah. And also, I think Tamara's thing, it's not even that she's trying to get a reaction out of Shannon. It's she can't stand not being in control of the situation.
She's not
getting
under her skin the same
way. She's always felt like in control of her relationship with Shannon, right? Where it was either like, she'll always forgive me, we'll always be friends, or like, I can just keep poking her and I'll look like the good guy. And now she really, you know, like, that's Tamara's thing, is she's got to control the narrative.
Yeah.
And so that's why it's like, she's alienating people who were her allies, like Heather, where it's like, you can't say anything about your dad because this is my storyline about being in therapy and working through all my shit. Like, I'm in control, you know? And the same thing happens with Shannon, where she's trying to talk about her life and Tamara interrupts and is like, oh, because your dad was an alcoholic, right?
You told me that before. Yeah. Oh my God. That part where, you know, but I liked Shannon's standing up for her dad in that moment. She was like, I don't want to do this. He's 96 and I don't want to do this.
And she said it so like, it's kind of like how I feel like I would have done it too.
Yeah, like, why are you?
She's like, I'm going to assume the best of you right now, that you are trying to help me and connect with me. Mm-hmm. But my dad is 96. Like, I never thought you would bring that shit up on camera.
I'm not going to talk about my dad who's 96 on camera that way.
And then, first of all, it pisses me off that, like, Gina defends Tamara, but it just goes to really show me that, like, I think that the producers were like, look, you guys, Tamara, she's not going anywhere. This is like a Sandoval type thing. We need at least, like, one of you to be on her side at all times, like, especially after she walks. Like, even if she's being a heinous bitch from hell, you got to be like, well, I see her point of view. And Gina's like, yep, got it, team player. And then Tamara gets all pissy and she's mad at Shannon and is like, I was trying to help. Jesus, I can't do anything right while wearing a hat that says, I like to stir the pot.
That's insane.
I'm like, girl.
Girl, be so for real. Oh, my God. I was just like, I just need this episode to end. And even Gina, like, just ended up laying on the floor and she's like, one of these women is 57 and the other one is 61.
But my thing is, I don't even like that. It's like, that's Gina being like, look how crazy they're both being.
Sure, it's kind of annoying. Like, imagine being in the house with them.
I don't know. I think it's real. Like, really, I think it's just Tamara being a bitch. Like, I mean, and that's Tamara's job. But, like, I don't like when Tamara tries to have it both ways. To have the audience like her and to stir the pot and to be in control of the narrative. It's like, girl, you're working with, it's not like all Gretchen and Alexis in 2007 anymore. Okay. Viewers are more savvy. You're working with people who've been on the show, but from like between 7 and 12 seasons, like, you know, everyone knows what they're doing. You can't run circles around everyone and you can't trick us. Like, you've got a podcast. We listen to them. We know what you're doing. So stop trying to, like, both be liked, be sympathetic, control every scene, make people look bad.
Tamara's really been her best when it is her, Vicky, and Shannon.
Like, and I think she knows that too. Yeah.
But without them, it's like,
she's unlikable because, like, that's the one really.
I still like her.
But she's
not as fun to watch.
I mean, this was the first time she, like, really made me mad, I guess, because I'm like, honestly, I think that the betrayal of, like, her and Shannon used to be friends in real life. Like, this was, like, actually, like, the maddest I've been at Tamara. Like, I usually am never mad at Tamara, but it's like, imagine it's you and me. We're, like, you know, friends for, like, been friends for a long time, and then, like, we're still doing the podcast together. We have a guest on and I brought up something really, and we're like in a fight and I bring up something really private about your family, like in front of the guest
while
on camera. And it's like, it's not even like, it's really messed
it's
up.
It's not really even
like,
pertinent.
I don't think it was calculated.
Like, yeah. I think Shannon was just like, she was really just trying to express kind of why she is the way that she is. Cause I think the way that Jen asked her was like in a legitimate, like, it's concerning, but, you know, but Shannon's like, yeah, I know that I do this and this is kind of how things were. And then she's kind of interrupted by Tamara trying to be like,
control the situation.
Because your dad's an alcoholic.
So then, so Jen is not sure. She's like, I think that it was probably Tamara calculated making, she already decided coming in she was going to bring this up for like to push the Shannon alcoholic storyline, but she wants to call her indirectly. And Jen, I'm like, I don't even think it really matters why, or if it was a blurt in the moment and she was trying to help. I still think it's so inappropriate.
It's so
such
shit.
A fuck up. She should apologize. She should be groveling to her immediately. Like, I'm so sorry. I didn't realize.
Well, because like, they were also really real friends for many years. It was like, show friends. So like, she knows that Shannon has told her so much about her life, so much about her upbringing, like stuff that you only share with people you're really close to. And so to bring it up on camera, it's like, as much as we were like, we need it to be real and we want to see the shit and we want it to play out on camera, like, I feel icky when it's like family
that's,
stuff. That kind of dark family stuff that doesn't really need to, it has nothing to do with the show.
And that's exactly what, and Shannon had just brought her dad on camera for this
for
season.
His birthday.
Tamara's saying this, like, it's just, I would be so furious. It's my family. Like, and I told you that not as a coworker. I told you that when we had a friendship, like, and now you're using this, whatever your reason is, you went too far. But Jen's like, Tamara, were you trying to call her dad an alcoholic? Like, to be like, actually, you're an alcoholic. Mm-hmm. And then Tamara's like, no. Yeah. Although Jen walked in while Tamara was saying to herself, have another glass of champagne, Shannon.
Shannon
just keeps being mad at her. And fuck that alcohol. She's just so full of rage, you know? Mm-hmm. But Jen's like, was it a dig? And Tamara's like, it wasn't. And then Tamara leaves and Shannon and Jen's like, by the way, Shannon, I don't think it was a dig. She said it wasn't a dig. I'm like, Jen, you believe her still? Oh my God. She's so gullible, dude. And Shannon's like, whatever. My therapist told me not to come. I shouldn't have come. And then Gina's like, you're both crazy. But I'm like, no, this is not you're both crazy. This is like Tamara. I think this is like the worst thing she's done, in my opinion, to one of her coworkers.
Oh,
like,
yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
She just keeps saying the same thing about Shannon. Like, she did it last season. Now she's doing it this season. And now she's doing it with Shannon's dad. Like, it's the whole, you're an alcoholic. You're an alcoholic. Yeah. Your dad was an alcoholic and you're an alcoholic. Like, you've got to find something else to be upset at Shannon for.
And that's the problem with Tamara is, like, and what used to work is that, like, it used to work that she was, like, kind of, like, just a mean girl who, like, had, like, anger towards all of her co-stars. And it fueled her to, like, keep on stirring the pot and setting them up. And they were dumb and they'd fall into it. And also she was likable because she'd get drunk and have fun. But now it's like she's like a dog with a bone and she wants she's like Gretchen now. Like, really what Emily said is right. She's like Gretchen. She will not stop until she's proven right.
Right.
And she can't just let storylines go or be fun or like let Shannon come to her in time. She still has to control. Yeah.
Yeah. She's good TV, but she's not fun. She's not dancing on the bar at Andale's anymore.
And it's just so wild that she's like
yelling at her friend about being an alcoholic. And you can't do that for 2 years. Like, it's okay to be concerned with somebody's drinking. Like, the way that Gina kind of talked to Shannon, like, I do worry about you. But it was like a legitimate, like, I need you to be okay. And it wasn't like, I think you have a drinking problem. It's like, are you emotionally okay? Like, your kids are out of the house. Like, are you okay? You know, like, you're out of this relationship with John Jansen. Like, it felt like real
care.
Care. And it wasn't from a mean place. It seemed legitimate.
Yeah.
Tamara's is just mean as fuck.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like she really wants to be friends with Shannon again. Mm-mm. It feels like she wants to be forgiven by Shannon because, like, it's the same as Gretchen, where it's like, she blames Shannon for making the viewers turn on her. It wasn't me. It was that I was trying to show that Shannon was an alcoholic and they love her for some reason, but I was saying the truth. It's like, girl, you have the ghost of like Christmas yet to come in Gretchen, you know, here where it's like, do you want to be like, you know, this nasty, like pageant veneers, like terrifying woman who gets fired by Bravo and then you get a chance to come back as a friend of, and you're still like attacking. You have to lay down your dukes and like actually like let down your resentments towards her. I mean, let's be honest. Tamara's borderline. She's a borderline personality disorder.
We accept that though.
We don't like to diagnose, but like, let's be real.
Yeah.
She's borderline. She needs to be.
Yeah. Well, that's okay. She'll get mood stabilizers in post.
Yeah. Yeah. She needs to maybe be on like a low dose stimulant and a high dose mood stabilizer.
Like Seroquel or like
Seroquel and then DBT five hours a day. That'll get her right as rain.
Right. But only once she's done with the show.
Only once she's, well, yeah. But I worry about her. I worry.
Yeah.
I worry, Mama. You gotta pivot, Mama.
Mama.
Gotta pivot. Pivot.
Yep. Pivot. Pivot.
Friends. All right. We love you guys so much. Mm-hmm. If you're listening from an airport trying to get back
to Dallas.
If you're listening
from Fort Lauderdale, if you're listening from Miami International Airport, we salute you. We were fucking, we had to wait for a freight train to get to the airport this morning. It was crazy.
It was planes, trains, and automobiles.
The lift driver's like, this is a big one. Why is there a cargo train at 5 a.m. right in front of the airport?
A true comedy of errors. But yeah. We're back. Free,
we're back,
guys.
And we're better than ever. And we're going to next year in Miami.
Next year in Miami. Next year in the promised land.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Bye. Bye. Is it done? Oh, it's 99 pulse.